Man, that's awesome. He truly is all we need. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. So, came up last night after the attempt on former President Trump's life and changed my message. I think a lot of preachers, at least preachers who are okay with addressing what's going on, probably many of them changed their message this morning. So I think there is a part of all of us that want answers, and the answer is found in the Bible. Amen. very clearly. And what's wrong with our nation is found in the Bible. By the way, what's good in our nation is found in the Bible. I don't want this all to be a negative thing. I'm thankful I still live in the greatest country on earth. I do believe that without a doubt. And this is one of the most famous verses in the Bible when dealing with revival and dealing with turning our hearts back to God. And it's going to be a simple message this morning. I don't have a lot of illustrations or certainly not any jokes to tell. But I do want you to see this. So turning again, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Remember in the context here, I was going to take time to read the whole thing, but I'm not. Here Solomon has taken the rulership of Israel. He is now king instead of his father David. David desired to build a house for God, and God told David, I'm not going to allow you to do that because you have blood on your hands. You've been a man of war, and I'm not going to allow you to build a house for me. He said, but what you can do, David, is you can gather the materials together and prepare your son and all the materials to build a house for me. When Solomon became king, he began to go forward in building the temple. And that all the materials David had provided already, everything had been made and ready to build this one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And when Solomon had completed the building of that building, in 2 Chronicles, I'm going to read verse 1 at least. It says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And so as Solomon completed the building, as he prayed the prayer of dedication and offered up sacrifice, the Bible says that God came down and dwelt there in that temple. And so much so, he filled the temple so much so that the priests couldn't enter in. And we know the Shekinah glory there is now dwelling at this moment, and here in Chronicles, dwelling between the cherubs in the Holy of Holies, there on top of the mercy seat, God's physical manifestation among man, among his people. And then after that, God spoke to Solomon. Look at verse 12. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard of thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Notice what it says here. Verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts, that's grasshoppers, to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then this will happen. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for our country. Lord, I pray for those who suffered yesterday. I pray that you would, physical harm, I pray that you would be with those families that are affected by that, comfort and strengthen them, give them peace. Give doctors wisdom there as they work with those. Pray for the comfort of families. Pray for former President Trump and his healing. But more importantly this morning, Lord, I pray for healing of our land. God, for each of us, the people of God, Christians, Lord, to see the importance of keeping our eyes on you, walking with you as we ought to do, being the light we ought to be, sharing that light with others, because we understand and know that the hope of America is the hope of every person. The hope of every person is you. is the gospel, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's that life-transforming event that takes place at the moment of salvation that truly changes the heart of mankind. Lord, may you see, help us see the gravity, the importance of living out a life for you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I think about the kings of Israel, I think about King Solomon as he reigned, or King Hezekiah. At the time of Solomon's reign, as he began to reign, Israel was at its zenith. It was at its pinnacle. Israel was the nation, the most powerful nation in that part of the world. And from time to time, it would get to that mountaintop again. Again, I mentioned Hezekiah. After David and after Solomon, there were 20 kings of the southern kingdom. Of those 20 kings, 12 were bad and 8 were good. 12 were bad and 8 were good. Sometimes we as Christians, as we read the Old Testament and we read about these kings, we have a tendency to dwell on the bad kings. We have a tendency to dwell about the times in which Israel had strayed from God and worshiped other gods, and God sent his judgment upon them. And it's kind of like in our own life where we always kind of tendency to have to look, we look at the negative instead of the positive. Can I just tell you that of the bad kings, it covered a span of 130 years. How long do you think the good kings reigned? Well, if you include David and you include Saul and you include Solomon, almost 400 years, right at 400 years. So there was a lot more good than bad, and a lot more good years than bad years. And can I tell you, I'm thankful America's the same way. A lot more good years than bad years. And there's a lot to be looked at, a lot of positive things, a lot of good things in America. Again, the greatest nation on earth. But as children of Israel, as they followed God, God blessed them. In fact, they were promised God's blessing. But that blessing was conditional. It was conditional. If you obey me, if you trust in me. If you don't, Deuteronomy chapter 11, and again, we don't have time. You can look it up later. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 through 18. And God lays it down for Israel. He says to them, follow me. Love me with all your heart. Keep my commandments. If you do so, I will bless you. I will send rain upon your crops. He said in Deuteronomy, he said, when you were in Egypt, you had to water your crops by your feet. In other words, they had to get the water from the River Nile, and it took a lot of effort, a lot of work to irrigate the crops. But he said, the land that I will give you, and that's Canaan land, the rain will just come. You won't have to set out irrigation, and you won't have to dig irrigation ditches, and you won't have to put all effort and time. The rain will come. I will send rain and water your crops. I'll bless you if, conditional, if you follow me, if you keep my commandments. That promise rang true. When they walked with God, God blessed them. I'm also thankful that if you read the Old Testament account, that God had mercy on them many times too. That God showed them grace. Aren't you glad he shows us mercy and grace? Amen. And that the judgment of God was not swift. The judgment of God was not quick. Again, God is not Zeus. If you do something wrong, boom, strike you with lightning, it doesn't happen. That's not God. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. Amen. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Yeah. And he was long-suffering with Israel, but those conditions were still there. The conditional promise was, you follow my commandments, you love me as you should, you don't worship other gods, you worship only me, and I will send rain, I will bless you. I will bless you. I'm thankful God showed mercy and grace. But here's Israel, right? 300 years in the book of Judges covers 300 years before the kings, before they had a king, 300 years they were ruled by judges. We think about Samson and Barak and Gideon and so many of the judges, and they weren't judges like we think of with a robe sitting behind a cabinet. They were judges as in deliverers. God sent deliverers And Israel would sin against God, and God would send them into captivity. He would put them into servanthood, and then God would deliver. They would get right with God. They would turn back to God, and God would deliver them. 300 years of this. And it's an example to us, and that's how many times our Christian life is. It's kind of a up, and we get to that mountaintop experience with God, and then we, by nature, begin to go downhill again, and then we come to a service like this, or we come to a revival meeting here in just a few weeks with Brother Getch, and man, we feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and we get right with God, and we get back in fellowship with Him, and we get back on the mountain, and hopefully as you grow in the Lord, it's not as dramatic. It becomes more like this, right? Yeah. You know what I'm going with that, don't you? I wasn't going to crack any jokes this morning because it's a serious service. But no? Nobody? Nobody? Everybody? I was breakdancing, but you guys didn't get it. Ups and downs of Christianity. I couldn't at least crack one smile this morning, all right? But the ups and downs of Israel are an example to us. And many times mirrors the way our lives work as well. I want to again tell you that the restoration of Israel was not found in a political solution. In fact, in the years that Josiah reigned, kind of towards the end of Israel as a nation, before they were carried into captivity, Josiah came to power. He saw a great revival take place, or at least you think he did. But many of those things that Josiah did were commands. But the Bible makes it clear that most of the hearts of the people did not change. Again, we could put some things in place and say, do this rule, that rule, this rule, that rule, this rule, that rule, this no, this yes, this no, this yes. Religion, right? Religion's a set of rules. I'm thankful Christianity is a relationship. Amen. All right? It's a following Jesus Christ, following the steps of Jesus Christ, living for others, being selfless, loving others as you love yourself, following in the footsteps of Jesus, and simply doing this and that and this and that and being told to do this and this and this and this and this does not bring a nation back to God. The hope of America is not found in politics or politicians. It's not found in a leader. I'm telling you, had something happened last night and former President Trump didn't turn his head just right, he wouldn't be here. And I have no doubt there's some in the congregation, maybe some watching online, that think that Trump is the answer to all of our problems. Can I tell you, that's not the answer. Again, he could have been gone yesterday, and I'm glad he's not, and absolutely glad he's not, and we're praying for him, and certainly, it's disgusting and terrible, people with that kind of hate. But the hope of America is not a politician. Right. The hope of America is God's people trusting and obeying. The hope is Christ. The hope is sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Because listen to me, listen this morning, be reminded, Christians this morning, people who are part of the family of God, that this is a life-transforming book. Amen. You can change people on the outside, but that's all you'll get. What the Bible does is it changes people on the inside. And then they change on the outside, but it's from the inside out. The Bible and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit works from the inside out and causes true transformation. Right. Not just reformation. There are many who just will themselves to reform. That's not the answer. This is the answer. The answer is not a politician. Notice what it says. This is a simple message. I don't have a lot of things to, illustrate and so forth this morning, but listen to this. If my people, who is that? Well, in this case, it's the Jews he's talking to. He's talking to his children. But I'm thankful the New Testament tells us we are spiritual descendants of Abraham. When you got saved, you became a spiritual descendant of Abraham. Oh, man. The promises given to Abraham, many of those apply to us as well. I'm thankful I'm a child of God, aren't you? Amen. If my people called by my name, what are we called? Christians. Why? They were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because They mimic the life of Jesus because they were imitators of the life of Jesus Christ. My people called by my name, Christ followers, humble themselves. Man, we could spend some time on this, but basically humbling or humble oneself is turning from self to utter dependence upon God. Amen. When one humbles themselves, they're humbling themselves before God and saying, God, I don't have it. I can't do this. Lord, I'm dependent upon you. I'm humbling myself. Again, our theme verse for the year, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't lean on your wisdom. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't lean on your thought. No, lean on the Lord. Amen. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him as creator, as sustainer, the God of the universe, the all-powerful one, the rock of our salvation. Acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, and what? Pray. What does pray mean? Pray means to ask. I know some of this is elementary for some of you, but praying is asking. The actual word prayer means ask. It's, again, the way the illustrates it for us, or God illustrates it for us, is that prayer is like going to your Father and asking him for something. My dad's preaching in Breckenridge this morning for Brother Brock. But if he was here, I would say, you know, I'm talking to my dad. I'm asking him for something. I'm asking him for something. I'm talking to him. I'm going to ask him. Praying is asking. Beseeching, begging, praying. And this shows our dependence upon him. In other words, when you pray to him and you're asking of him, you are saying with your mouth or with your brain, with your mind, I am depending upon you. Amen. Lord, I am depending upon you. As I've said many times, and it's not new with me, but prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. Do you understand that when you pray, that you can affect God? That's a sobering thought. When you pray, you can affect God. We have examples of that. Abraham prayed, affected God. Moses prayed, affected God. Not only do you affect God, but you affect others. Aren't you glad for intercessory prayer? I'm thankful someone prays for me. Someone's praying for me. It affects me. It has an impact on me. I remind you, when you pray, you have an impact on others that you're praying for. You have an impact on that doctor when you pray for that doctor, that God would guide his hand during the surgery. That impacts the doctor. You believe that? I do. I've seen it. And you impact circumstances. I'm almost done. Humble themselves, pray. What's the next little part there? Seek my face. To walk with him. To grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. King David said, as the hart or as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. David had a longing to know God more. Moses said, Lord, show me thy glory. And God said to Moses, you can't see all my glory, but I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll walk by and you can see my hinder parts. He wanted to know God more. He wanted to know God in a greater way. Do you have a longing, Christian? Do you have a longing to know God more? Do you seek his face? 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, as you're reading the Bible, helps you and molds you and conforms you into the image of the Son, Jesus Christ. When the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is what? Changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. As I read the Bible, God is transforming me. This is a life-transforming book. Amen. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you read the Bible, you're being transformed. Walking with the Lord. How's your walk with the Lord this morning? Are you seeking God's face? Do you seek His face every day? Are you spending time with Him? And then lastly, and turn from their wicked ways. And boy, we could spend some time here. Turning, repenting. We're all born selfish by nature. We're all born selfish by nature. We're born sinners. The Bible says, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned. That means missed the mark. What's the mark? It's Jesus Christ. It's the glory of God. It's who and what God is. We all come short of that. By the way, because we come short of that, we're in need of a Savior. Someone to take our place, someone to live out a righteous life for us. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, lived out a perfect life for us. But yet He died on a cross, not for sins He had done, but for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. And when we put our trust in Him, we can have everlasting life. Amen. Have our sins forgiven. He paid for our sins. At salvation, we repent. Repentance is necessary. I don't care what any grouper says. Repentance is necessary. It's a change of mind concerning my sin, concerning my selfishness. My sin put Jesus on the cross, and I need to recognize that. But when I get saved, I'm saved to walk in newness of life. There ought to be evidence that I'm saved. That's actually why John wrote 1 John. There ought to be evidence there. The change of mind is a product of trusting. I'm trusting in Christ, and He changes my mind in Him, seeing my sins for what they are. And as Christians, we ought to see our sins for what they are. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. First off, it says, if you say you have no sins, you're a liar, John said. Look it up, John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. But if we sin, I'm thankful if I confess my sins, He is faithful. 1 John 1, 9, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to children of God. Amen. We're still sinners saved by grace. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then, notice this is conditional, then will I answer from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Christ is the answer. His people are the answer. Do you get that? If my people, it's not those who are not saved that's going to make the difference. It's you that are saved. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble ourselves, trust in Him and not yourself. Don't place your trust in the government. That could change tomorrow. Don't trust in your pocketbook. That could change tomorrow. Education, whatever else you may be trusting, and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Christian, when's the last time you spent some time with the Lord? When's the last time you sought the Lord? How's your walk with God? When's the last time you talked with Him? Are you closer to Him today than you were yesterday? Are you closer to Him today than you were when you first got saved? That's an important question. Are you growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what seek my face. Are you seeking His face? Child of God, is there sin in your life? I know a lot of the modern day preachers don't preach on sin anymore because it offends people. But some of the things in the Bible are offensive. Some of us, affected by sin, are not walking with God as we should because there's sin in our life. You need to seek God's face and come and say, Lord, search my heart, like King David said, and see if there be any wicked way in me. We are so selfish. Is there something between you and the Savior? Get that right. The hope of your family, the hope of the nation, is dependent upon we as Christians walking with God as we should. And sin is what keeps us from walking with God as we should. See, when I get saved, I can't lose my salvation, but I can lose the fellowship with Jesus Christ. And He so richly desires that. The promise is conditional. He says, then I will hear. Then I will forgive. Then I will heal their land. What the world needs today is not a change in politics or politicians. What America today needs is not necessarily and certainly not first and foremost a change in leadership in the government. What the world needs today, for and foremost, is revival. Amen. And revival starts with God's people. Right. It's you drawing a circle around yourself, not the person sitting next to you, not your neighbor, not your Sunday school teacher, drawing a circle around yourself and saying, Lord, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, help me to walk with you. Help me to love you as I should. Lord, if there's some wicked way in me, Lord, show it to me. Lord, I want to confess those things. I want to confess them. I want to walk with you. Lord, bless our nation. We need him. What the world needs is Christ. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Set your affections on things above. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. Don't let these things get you off track. And don't be like Peter again there walking on the water and get afraid. Again, God did not give you that spirit of fear. If you're fearful this morning because of what happened last night, God did not put that and plant that in your heart and your mind. I'm thankful I can trust in the Lord with all my heart. Put my confidence in him. He has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. He's promised to take care of me, to protect me. I'm thankful for those great promises, aren't you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you've done for us. What a blessing it is to be a child of God, to be your people. Lord, may we as your people humble ourselves. May you as your people pray. May we seek your face as we ought. May we repent. And Lord, we want to see those blessings that you've so graciously promised to us. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for your Son who gave his life for us that we might have eternal life, that we might have our sins forgiven. Lord, if there's someone here this morning in our service or maybe watching online that does not know you as their personal Savior, maybe they've never trusted in you as they ought to do, Lord, would they make that decision today? Would you lead them? Would you prompt them by way of your Holy Spirit? We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.